So I think we have some good tools to go out with this afternoon. We wanted to add a third just to round it out a little bit and hopefully add a few thoughts in terms of initiating conversations with people, transitioning, just talking to people, just talking in a way that will help to lead towards gospel fruitfulness. And so that's the plan. A couple quick things before we start. It's myself and Roger Everhart are going to share this time. Roger, the I'm too sexy for my shirt guy, he's gonna maybe clarify the truthfulness of that story, is what I heard. But anyways, we're gonna talk about that. Before we dive in, let me say a couple things. One, I think Utah after this is gonna have a little roundup over here. That's right, Josh? Yep, okay, so over here, Utah, meet there. I also wanted to give you the breakdown for this afternoon's sharing. I'll try to share this again at the end of our time right now so that you know where you're going. But we're going to be outreaching in four different cities this afternoon, beginning at 2. And that's Severance, Loveland, Greeley, and Fort Collins. And so you can just have this in mind. For Severance, Phoenix and Severance are going to go to Severance. Okay, so you can have that in mind. Phoenix and Severance. And then for Loveland, it will be LA, Loveland, and El Paso are going to Loveland. And then to Greeley will be Denver, Greeley, and Omaha. Sorry, it was kind of numbers breakdown that we had, the number of people that needed to go to each place. But then in Fort Collins will be Fort Collins, Utah, and Parker. Okay? And so here's the deal. For those that are going to Greeley, Denver, Greeley, and Omaha, let's meet here at 1:30. Okay, and then I think Dave will give you some instructions there. Then at 2, everybody else is going to meet at 2, and we'll have the Fort Collins people, Fort Collins, Utah, and Parker right here in the auditorium. And let's have Loveland in the gym, so that's LA, Loveland, and El Paso. And then Severance, Phoenix and Severance, let's just meet out here in the lobby. Okay, so that's at 2 o'clock, except for the Greeley people, meet at 1:30. All right, so I'm actually going to hand it over to Roger, and he's just going to run through a few thoughts on some things that have been helpful and effective in his community. Woo!
So if there was a red card to come out, I think Steve should have to walk around without his shirt on. That's not a true story. I don't remember that story at all. Okay, how many people, it's easy to engage a person just on the street that you don't know and go up and talk to them, especially about the gospel? Let's raise your hand. Keep them up a little bit. Okay, so how many people you're kind of scared and terrified? Okay, I hope you are paying attention to the people that raised their hand. You can partner with them. That's kind of a joke, but not really. Pair up with somebody that's kind of comfortable walking around talking to people. So I'm gonna tell you about four stories of my experience of going out and sharing with people as we go into the neighborhoods and we knock on the doors. So. Or you're going to just go into a park and walk up to somebody and share with somebody. But you guys should probably go out in groups of 2, but no more than 3. And you should alternate who initiates the conversation. One, so that you both get a chance to engage in somebody in a conversation just off of, you know, cold turkey, so to speak. And second, that way you're not fighting over who is trying to share what and throw this in there and do this and do that. So if you have to go in groups of three, that's fine. Just let one person kind of lead the time, and then the next person you engage with, you get to do the talking. So 4 years ago, when we went and did this, I think it was 4 years ago here, I was sharing with Cale Whitney in Severance. We're just knocking on doors and just telling people we're out praying for them, praying for the community. Is there anything that we can pray for you? And we're just going back and forth. And we knock on a guy's door. We have to kind of walk up to his steps. So you're like looking up. And so we knock on the door. And the door rips open. And this very large guy, he's tall. He's got this really, this angry look on his face, like, what are you doing at my door? I take a step back and go, it's your turn, Cale. And we just told this guy, hey, we're just out praying for people in the neighborhood. We want to bless this community. Is there anything that we can pray for you? He took a step back. He started weeping. He started crying. He goes, I can't believe this. That you guys are standing at my door asking if I want you to pray for something. He had a friend in Louisiana that they had just, their kid, three-year-old kid, just got diagnosed with leukemia. So Cale and I was able just to sit there and pray with him over that whole situation. So we leave, and we start walking down the sidewalk. We go to the next house. Nobody's there. We come back out onto the sidewalk. We start walking to the next house. Here comes this guy. He's running down the sidewalk. And he pays us money. He wanted to give us money. And we're like, hey, we're not doing this for money. We just want to bless the community. And he's like, I know, but I can't believe you're out here in 100-degree weather walking around asking to pray for people. And he gave us like $40. We went and bought soda for everybody and sat in the park and talked about what we went through. And so sometimes when you approach a house, you can read into that situation and not know what's going to happen. I thought, man, when he opened that door, I thought for sure this was going to be the first time that somebody was really going to yell at me. Instead, he started crying. And one of the first times I did this in Severance, I was with a friend of mine here in Fort Collins. We were just going door to door, and we went to a guy's house. And we had just both finished the LINK program, which when it was in Virginia that year, I believe. And so we were all excited to do the three circles. We were really excited to do this. And we knocked on the guy's door, and he answered the door, and we told him what we were doing, kind of went through, you know, how you engage somebody. And he goes, hey, guys, I'm not interested. Thank you. And I was like, okay, good. See you. Bye. But my friend, he just really kind of wanted to push that envelope a little bit. And he went into his 15-second testimony, and he shared that. And the guy goes, hey, I'm good. I don't need your prayer. I don't need anything. And so he said, okay, thank you. Have a good day. And we shut the door and walked off. Out of all the times that I've been doing this, at least in Severance, that's the first and only person that has turned me down for prayer. I've engaged a lot of people and asked them if we could pray for them, and somebody has always given me something to pray for. So that's the only thing, the only time. And I'm not going to say that you're going to go out there and you're going to bat 1,000 and everybody's going to ask you to pray for them. But what I've learned is that in these neighborhoods, in these communities, there is a lot of hurt and anxiety and stress. And a lot of people are trying to figure out something higher than them to help them figure out their life. And when you show up and ask if I can just pray for you, they're like, maybe this is it. And they're willing to engage in conversation with you. Another story. Sorry, this has a lot to do with the Whitneys. But so Krista and her daughter were out sharing in Severance, and they knocked on a lady's door, and they told her, hey, we're out praying for the neighborhood. Is there anything that we can pray for you? And she started crying. So if somebody starts crying, that's a good sign that you're going to probably get to pray for them. Don't get excited. Join them in their sadness. This lady, her name was Sheila, and they prayed for her, and they got her name, and they gave it to Renee and I, and we went back, and we went and spoke with Sheila and met her, talked to her, and we just slowly built a relationship with her. Over the last 4 years, I would go over and help her. We found out that her and her husband had just moved to Severance a couple of years before that. But 2 weeks after they moved from California, they move out here. Her husband goes out onto the porch, sits in the chair, has a massive heart attack, dies. She's all alone. She shuts herself in her house for about a year, year and a half, until Krista knocks on the door and says, can we pray for you? And she was just blown away by that. Over the course of the time, we just kept spending more and more time with Sheila, you know, doing things with her. She got saved. I was working in her basement. While I was working in her basement, wiring some lights, Renee is over there sharing the gospel. I'm working on lights going, what's going on? Next thing I know, they're praying. Sheila's weeping. She gets saved. She's a widow lady. She's like in her 70s. And she got to experience this. We kept building a relationship with her. Long story short, it was really hard for her to live out here. So we helped her move back to California to be with her family. But we set her up really well. And so again, you just don't know where people are at. I mean, it wasn't like John got saved that we prayed with and Sheila got saved right at the moment. But as we spent time with them and built a relationship with them, they started getting saved. Last story I'll share with you. 4 years ago, we were also sharing in Severance. A dad and a son knocked on the lady's door. She invited them in. They started talking to her. Well, right as they knock on the door, this huge storm comes through. And everybody that was out sharing got soaked except for these two guys. I can't remember who it was. Because this lady said, oh, you guys should come in. It's going to rain. So they got to go in, get reprieve from the storm, sat and talked with this lady, prayed with her. We got her number. Her name and her number. We went back and visited her. And so with this lady's contact and Sheila's contact, we did a Discovery Bible study with these two ladies in our home. This other lady, she just started growing, but her life was a mess. She's gone through a very hard divorce, you know, trying to figure out how to raise her daughters, you know. Again, a lot of hurt, a lot of pain, a lot of frustration. You know, she was just lost. As we kind of build a relationship with her, start helping her figure out her life with God, she meets another couple of ladies, and they're going to a church in Windsor. She joins up with them, and her relationship with God has just been straight up. It's been so fun to see. She's a realtor there in Severance, and so here, I don't know, about 6 months ago, I called her. I was talking to her about her property in Severance. And I was like showing these doubts about, I don't know, this property, I don't know if we could do it or whatever. And she was like, well, where's your faith? I mean, this could be a God thing. And she just goes, she just lectures me. She goes, well, let's just pray about it. So she prays on the phone. I haven't seen her for a while, but she said, you're the one that taught me this. Oh, okay. But she's joined up with another church, and she keeps growing, and it's just fun to see how her life is completely turned around because she gets to enjoy the peace of the Lord in her heart. So when you go out and you're going to engage people, what I like to do is just introduce myself. Hey, my name's Roger. I don't usually use my last name unless they want it. We'd like to pray for you. And people are usually taken back. And sometimes they will give you an answer of, well, I don't know. I don't think I need prayer. I don't have anything. You could give them examples. How's your family doing? And usually they'll go, oh, okay, yeah, you could pray for that. Or you could pray for that. But just be yourself, I think, is what I've learned, is just to be genuine with people. But as you get, when you get into your neighborhoods, what I would like you guys to do is just maybe take a few minutes as you're walking down the sidewalk and just start praying and asking God to help you, to give you courage, to bless your time. Because each and every one of us is different. And God, I believe that God has ordained conversations that he's picked out for you to have with somebody wherever you're going. And he's like, I need you because of your personality, because of everything about you, to talk to this person. You are going to connect with her. And God will bless that time. Now, God might have a mean person that you need to talk to today. That's okay. If somebody yells at you, cusses you out, I've never had that happen. Some people have. I don't know if Dave Kanoshag's here. He's been yelled at before. That person does not define you. That person's beliefs don't define you. And it's not a big deal if somebody yells at you. Enjoy the time. But I challenge each and every one of you to at least engage in one conversation by yourself with somebody or lead that time. It will change you to the core. It'll blow you away. You walk away, there's this satisfaction, this joy that you get, and you're like, I did it! And God's honored and blessed. So just have fun with it. But be yourself, be genuine. And that's what I have, Aaron.